The following Women's Spaces show was recorded on Monday, August 7th, 2023.
The woman in your life will do what she must do to comfort you and calm you down and let you rest now. The woman in your life, she can rest so easily. She does everything you do. Because the woman in your life is you.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to Women's Spaces. My name is Elaine B. Holt, and I'm your host. And with me at the board is my friend, my partner, my engineer, and co-producer, Ken Norton. Good morning, Ken.
Good morning, Elaine.
Wow, what a warm day it is here in Sonoma County. Well, this morning I have a very special guest joining me on the show. Excuse me, joining me on the phone from Washington, D.C. will be Zakiya Thomas, who's the president and CEO of the ERA Coalition and Fund for Women's Equality. And the ERA is the Equal Rights Amendment. It's very, very, very interesting. And I'm really looking forward to talking with Zakiya and finding out more about the ERA and finding out why we haven't got it passed already. I mean, to have equal rights for women, that's amazing. Anyway, I would have a special announcement. Happy 75th birthday to KBBF, and a special thank you to all who attended the successful celebration held at the Luther Burbank Center here in Santa Rosa. It was amazing, and it was so exciting, and so many things happening that when I got home, I could hardly sleep. And Senator Mike McGuire, he's the actually minority leader here in California. Senator Mike McGuire presented KBBF's president, Elisa Sanchez, with a special proclamation honoring the 50 years of service provided by the station to the community. And what the most amazing experience was watching Senator McGuire help us raise $66,000 to help the station get new equipment, which will enable us to survive another 50 years. So happy birthday to KBBF. And a special thank you to all the sponsors and those who donated to the station. I was so excited. My sister Evelyn was there, and my daughter Susan, and my son-in-law Dave, and we just enjoyed it. And the room was just packed with people celebrating, and it was just such a joyous experience. Well, I want to do a special happy birthday to Ken's sister, Janet Navarro, an amazing woman. I want to wish her only the best life has to offer, and it was wonderful celebrating her birthday with her on Sunday. I got to spend time alone with our niece, Alicia, and our great niece, Isla Blue, which was really a joy. So happy birthday, Janet. I wish you the very best life has to offer. Good health, peace of mind, loving relationships, and continued prosperity. Well, like we do every Monday morning, it's really interesting. We get into our history is our strength. And, you know, there's so much going on in the world and so many things that we forget about. You know, we get so much noise and news. I call it noisy news, that we forget about all the different things that have happened that got us the way that where we are today. And I have to tell folks something. Yesterday, Ken and I went to the movies and we saw the movie. Oppenheimer. And I got to tell you something, folks. At the end of the movie, all I could do was cry. I mean, I could not believe I just burst into tears. It was such an emotional thing when I thought that the human race has developed such a thing as the atomic bomb. And the way they were talking about when they dropped the bomb on Hiroshima and Nagasaki, like, oh, 100,000 people, 120,000 people were killed, and so many people, they didn't die till 2 days later. And I thought to myself, my God, like they're not even people. They're just numbers, you know, and the realization about what a horror that we released in the atmosphere. And one of the I guess considerations was, is they thought that if we had these kinds of weapons, it would actually prevent war. But now with so many countries having nuclear warfare, you know, you just, sometimes you're sitting in your seat and you wonder, what is going on? I mean, how are we going to survive all this? And I think we really have to stand up strong for peace. We really do. And I think it's important when we look at our history is our strength. The reason I say our history is our strength is because we get an idea of what people go through to try to make changes or to try to move forward in a more positive, productive fashion. I mean, when you think of it, we have such capacity today, such capacity to just communicate with one another. I mean, Women's Spaces goes all across the globe. Anybody can listen to it. We're streaming, you know, so anybody can just pick up, you know, turn their computer on, you know, go to www.kbbf.org and here we are. What a miracle that is. I mean, sometimes I listen to the radio and I think, you know, where is all this coming from? And yet at the same time, we have these horrible, horrible weapons, and they call it weapons of mass destruction. I mean, whose mass is going to be destroyed the next time? I mean, think about it. We've been very lucky in the United States here. I mean, look how we carried on with 9/11. I mean, that was a horrific experience that happened to us. Imagine if we were a country like what's happening in the Ukraine when they're bombing out people in their own apartments. I mean, there's a lot to think about. And I think the only way that things are going to change is if each one of us stand up and say enough is enough. We want peace. Let's figure out a way to live on this planet in peace and cooperation rather than always having to worry about war. I mean, I just cried. I mean, I was so upset when I got home. I kept thinking about it. I kept thinking about that explosion. And I kept thinking about today they have 10 times more than that day in Los Alamos in the early 1940s. Ugh, just gives me the chills. It really does when I think about it. So let's go ahead. Let's go get into our history is our strength, you know, and remember all this stuff can be found on the National Women's History Alliance, which it's amazing. You know, KBBF is celebrating 50 years of the Alliance, the National Women's History Alliance. I think they're celebrating a little over 40 years. And I will be celebrating on August 13th. That's when I moved up to Sonoma County some 50 years ago, a half a century. Where is it gone? It just flew by, and before you know it, I was an old lady. Anyway, I guess a lot of us can say make that statement. So let's get into our history as our strength. You know, October 6th in 1965, the Voting Rights Act outlaws the discriminatory literacy test. You know, people had to take a test. Some of them couldn't even read, that had been used to prevent African Americans from voting. Suffrage is finally fully extended to African American women. You know, it's very interesting. During the suffrage, the white women got the vote in 1920. And because there's the whole history around why the black women didn't get the vote in 1920. And finally, in 1965, they were able to vote legally and not have to go through all this different testing when they got to the polls. And there's been always been a little bit of a rift between women of color and Caucasian women. And I think it's time for us to come together as women. Very important. I know when people ask me, well, how do you see yourself, Elaine? I say to myself, I am a woman first. A woman first, and then the rest, you know, Caucasian, you know, where I was brought up, what my religious, you know, thoughts are. I mean, I've given up a lot of those things as I grow older, and I really consider myself a woman, a very spiritual woman, a person who believes in love, peace, compassion, and I know there's many, many of us out there. So when I think of myself, I think of myself as a woman first, and I invite you, woman, man, you know, however you think of yourself, to recognize you're a part of the human family. And that is very important. And then voting. I mean, that's what democracy is all about. People can vote. We can go to the polls. We change our leaders. We support our leaders. We put people in we think that are going to make positive changes. We take people away that maybe are destructive. I mean, voting is a privilege. It's an amazing privilege when you think about it, and we need to take it a little bit more serious. And you know how they say your vote doesn't count? You know, they're trying to tell us, hey, your vote doesn't count, your vote doesn't count. Well, if your vote doesn't count, why do they go through so many issues to try to prevent us from voting or to make it easier for us? You know, they're constantly closing down the polls, or all of a sudden you can't find where you're supposed to vote, and all the rigmarole that goes on about it. Because they don't want us to have that vote. That's freedom. You know, there are still countries out there that are fighting to get the vote. And it's a hard challenge. I mean, look at here, 1965, we finally had a civil rights movement to where people can actually go to the polls and vote without having some of the problems they had. But look how long it took. The country was over 200 years before that even happened. So it's an amazing when you think about it. Well, another interesting thing happened on August 8, 1969. It was Executive Order 1478 issued by President Nixon, which requires each federal department and agency to establish and maintain an affirmative action program of equal employment opportunity for civilian employees and applicants. Well, they sure worked hard to get rid of that one, the affirmative action. I mean, my goodness, to have equality, you know, all of a sudden they take it away from us. Oh, we don't need that now. You know, we understand that. You know, we know how to be fair. Oh, we don't know how to be fair. That's why we have regulations, because we have to have boundaries. We have to have controls over our world. Otherwise, everything just gets out of control. I mean, look what happened around the election when they tried to stop it and had this insurrection. When you start thinking about it. Well, a very positive thing happened on August 10th, 1993, and that was when Ruth Bader Ginsburg is sworn in as the second woman and the 107th justice to serve on the U.S. Supreme Court. What a powerhouse she was, and what an honor that was to have her on the Supreme Court. And some of the things that she was able to accomplish for women was just amazing. So it's a big celebration. August the 10th, 1993, Ruth Bader Ginsburg is sworn in as the second woman and the 107th justice to serve on the United States Supreme Court. What an honor that was. And what an amazing thing, the Supreme Court. They're the ones who are supposed to be there. They're the ones who make sure that we are fair and balanced. And even it's getting out of whack. And so you have to ask yourself, what is going on? When are we going to come together? Where's more of the Ruth Bader Ginsburgs out there speaking out for our rights and our freedom? I mean, it's mind-boggling. Well, we got some birthdays, and I'm going to take a swig of water here. It's really amazing, you know, with this heat, you know, you just really get dry. Well, here's a happy birthday, everybody's favorite, and that's Lucille Ball, comedian, actress, and she was one of the first female television executives with her TV series I Love Lucy from 1950 to 1960. She was the first woman to own a major television studio, and that was Desilu Productions. And I know we all remember I Love Lucy. I mean, there wasn't a week that went, you know, they were on once a week, and boy, I remember television was very early on there in my family. We'd all sit around and we'd watch I Love Lucy and her wonderful, wonderful antics. And she made her transitions in 1989. Another woman I think that's very interesting, happy birthday, and she's still alive, and that's Elizabeth Holtzman. She was born August 11th, 1941. She was the youngest woman elected to the U.S. Congress. She was a Democrat. She served from 1973 to 1981. And listen to this. She was the first woman district attorney in New York City in 1981. Can you imagine the first woman district attorney, what she went through? Amazing, amazing. These are amazing women. Well, then we have August 12th, 1889, and she made her transition in 1981. That was Zadina Sharp. She was an author. She was called, the mother of Dick and Jane. I remember when I was in elementary school. Hey, see Spot Run, you know, Dick and Jane, and there was Dick and Jane and Mommy and Daddy and Spot, and then I forgot what the name of the cat was, and they had little friends that come over. And, you know, it was amazing learning how to read. I remember remember when I was in grammar school, I was always in group one. I was a good reader. I was pretty smart at that time, I guess. Although they did say on my my kindergarten report card, Elaine should understand children should be seen and not heard. Well, they didn't convince me of that. As you can tell, here I am on the radio. But it was really interesting about the Dick and Jane series, because they had this perfect family, this perfect house. Everything was so perfect. And I'll tell you something. When I looked at my family, they were not perfect. So I really believe that some of these images that we got, some of these illusions that we got about the way it's supposed to be and yet the way it really was, I believe is a little bit damaging. But at the same time, it was a series of books that taught us all how to read. But there was one problem, though, that was very interesting. When I went back to college in 1970, I was 30 years old, and I studied with a woman by the name of Dr. Eve Jones, who told me I had a problem comprehending things. In other words, I couldn't quite remember things, or I couldn't quite put things in context. And she attributed it to the fact that because of the way they taught us a reading with Dick and Jane, it was so rote that our imagination went just into the book and not actually what was happening around us. So it's a real interesting study. But it was the first really great reading program that enabled many, many of us to learn how to read. You know, we take all these things for granted. We really do. We take things for granted. We don't realize what a blessing it is just to be alive each day, just to get up in the morning. You know, and you hear someone here, this gentleman on Amy Goodman, we were listening to a gentleman, an activist. I didn't quite catch his name, but he was 70 years old. Here I am at 83, and I think, wonder how long I have left on this planet. Well, none of us know. And that's why we should not take anything for granted and learn to appreciate and to understand that we have to stand up. We have to be able to ask. We have to be not so fearful to ask questions, not fearful to ask people to do things for us, and not afraid, say, to write letters to the editor or just to make a complaint when you see something that you don't like, or a compliment when you like it. You know, it goes both ways. You know, oftentimes I think we complain too much. You know, I'm big on thank you cards. And the reason I'm big on thank you cards is because most of us get 1,000 bills in the mail. And it's so wonderful when all of a sudden there's a little birthday card or an acknowledgement for something you did. You go, oh, wow, you know, today Ken got another birthday card and we're opening it up. And he also got his, what was that, your real driver's license, right, Ken? So now he's real. And that was quite an event that he was able to do that, you know, and finally got it. Now he's legal across the board. So there's a lot to think about, you know, but that's what Women's Spaces is all about, I believe, just to evoke thought, to evoke feeling, and to get people to do something. You know, there's so many different ways that we can become involved. You know, of course, we can always go into our pocketbook and write a check. That's the easiest way. You know, none of us are too busy for that. Or we can volunteer to a group that's trying to do some good in the community. Or you can support your community radio stations. There's all kinds of ways you can get involved. Become a volunteer in your child's school if you have enough time, or at least pay attention to what's happening at the school. So there's lots of different ways that we can control things. And the most important things that women have to recognize, that it wasn't until 1920 that we were able to get the vote, and we're still struggling with this Equal Rights Amendment. I do not understand. It's been almost since Alice Paul put it into kind of got the idea out there. I believe it was in 1920, and finally maybe something was done by 1923. It's over 100 years and we still don't have an Equal Rights Amendment. So we're going to take a musical break. And the song I'm playing is a wonderful song. It's called Ain't Gonna Let Nobody Turn Me Around, sung by Lydia and Violet. And the reason I like to play that song every once in a while, because look how long we've been trying to get this Equal Rights Amendment taken care of, making an amendment to our Constitution that includes women. It says men and women. You know, I mean, it's very interesting. And Ken and I were having a debate, and he says, you do want to be equal to men? I says, we want to have the same opportunities. We want to have the same salaries. We want to be treated as equal citizens, not just someone that, hey, you go become a housewife and have children without choice. You know, I'm not saying there's anything wrong. I have children. I'm a great grandmother. I mean, there's nothing wrong with that. Don't get me wrong. But if you choose not to do it, that's your choice. That's what freedom's all about. So there's lots to think about. So when we come back, we're going to talk about the Equal Rights Amendment. And let me give you a little bit of history. While women across the United States gained the right to vote with the passage of the 19th Amendment in 1920, many feminists believe the fight for equal gender rights was just beginning. Alice Paul, the leader of the National Women's Party, immediately began to lobby for an addition to the Constitution that would provide for the protection of women's rights in general. Beginning in 1923, Paul and her supporters submitted the Lucidia Mott Amendment to Congress yearly until 1942. Well, in 1943, Paul reworded the amendment, which became known as the Alice Paul Amendment, and continued to submit to Congress every year. And in 1972, the U.S. Congress rewrote the amendment once again and passed it. The amendment was known as the Equal Rights Amendment, ERA, then went to the state legislatures to require ratification. The ERA failed to be ratified. Only 37 of the necessary 38 state legislators voted to pass the amendment within the seven-year deadline. Well, when we return, you know, joining me on the phone from Washington, D.C., will be Zakiya Thomas, who is president and CEO of the ERA Coalition and Fund for Women's Equality. I am so honored to be interviewing her and talking about this important issue for all women, the Equal Rights Amendment. So let's go ahead, let's play that song, Ken, and let's get her on the phone. Anybody turn us around. As women, we are moving forward. For you just joining in, I want to remind my listeners the opinions expressed here are not necessarily the opinions of the station, its board of directors, its members, and Women's Spaces. Well, welcome back. You're listening to Women's Spaces, and I'm your host, Elaine B. Holt. And without further ado, I want to introduce my guest joining me on the phone from Washington, D.C., Zakiya Thomas, who's the president and CEO of the ERA Coalition and the Fund for Women's Rights. Welcome, Zakiya. Welcome to Women's Spaces.
Well, thank you so much. I'm excited to be here.
Well, I'm excited to have you. I mean, I had no idea until I got the email from you that all this is going on. So it's really, really an honor to have you on. So before we start, is it okay if I tell folks just a little bit about you?
Oh, please do.
Zakiya Thomas is president and CEO of the ERA Coalition and Fund for Women's Equity. Zakiya is a change agent working to make equality a reality for all people. Using her experience as a political strategist and nonprofit manager, Zakiya leads a diverse coalition of 300 organizations representing 80 million people. Oh, my God, that's amazing. This community of activist advocates for gender, racial, and reproductive justice, LGBTQ+ rights, and more under the unifying goal of sex equality. Zakiya is also an adjunct professor at Georgetown Law, teaching nonpartisan course on how to run for political office and volunteers on several nonprofit boards. Wow, what a resume. And it's not even a paragraph. So is there anything that you would like to add, Zakiya?
No, I think that's all. The main reason for a coalition, as you said, it's 300 members, partner organizations representing 80 million people. And the unifying goal for us is really getting the Equal Rights Amendment added to the Constitution. And that's what brings us together. And that's why we're working so hard to make equality a reality.
Well, what a big goal. I mean, I can't believe when I start doing the research and I start looking up what Alice Paul started to bring forward. It's been over 100 years already. It's just amazing. Yeah. Well, to begin with, Zakiya, talk about how you first got involved working with the ERA and reproductive justice and the LGBTQ2+ rights. You know, what were some of your challenges that you experienced, and where did you get your inspiration? You know, this is a women's show, and we like to get women to get off their duff and do something. So it's so important to explain where you got your inspiration.
Well, I mean, the inspiration really does come from my grandmother and my mother. So I'm fortunate to be the product of many generations of very strong women who taught me that it's not okay for me to sit on the sidelines. I have to act. If I have the skills and the talents and the voice, I need to use them, because if I don't, someone's going to take it away from me. I'm a black woman in America, and so I know my rights are tenuous. So it makes perfect sense for me that I should be working towards the Equal Rights Amendment, because we have no foundation of equality in our Constitution based on sex. And we say sex because sex is, by legal terms, is much more encompassing than gender alone. It makes perfect sense for me, and it's incumbent upon me to do this because I can do it. I represent the future of what this movement needs to be. We're diverse, we are younger, and we build on and stand on the shoulders of those who came before us and learn from them and continue this movement going forward. And I think what's important for us now is to remember that we are all in this together. And if someone's attacking a trans community, if they're attacking abortion rights, it's the same people attacking us. So we all need to work together to make that change.
Well, I think that is such an important statement that you just made, that we have. That's why I always say, come together, do something. Everybody has to do their part, a little bit here and a little bit there, and you'd be surprised what happens. Well, who are some of the people that inspired you? I mean, all of a sudden you're sitting there and then you said, I've got to get involved in this. What was that? What was that first shot, so to speak?
Honestly, for me, it wasn't just one thing. It's all the little lessons I learned over my life and seeing people stand up and take ownership over an issue and knowing that everyone can do something. The folks who moved the Equal Rights Amendment through our early years, they were ordinary people, just like the rest of us. But like them, we can do something extraordinary. And that's something I believe very firmly in it. Just because I am a person, I myself can't do the work. But if I work with other people, then that doubles my effort. If I continue to work with larger and larger groups, then I can make that what I really want to see manifest.
Well, that's an amazing thought. I mean, you're definitely working with several nonprofit groups. I mean, where do you get your energy? I mean, it's just amazing when you think about. I know when I was a younger woman, it was so wonderful to have all this energy and to be able to work on some of these things. What are some of your challenges? What do you feel are some of the challenges right now? Because one of the things that is mind-boggling to me, and it also happened to me when I start looking at the Declaration of Independence that we wrote way back in 1776, which is very, very, very interesting, because it was, you know, to bring equality and to have some sort of freedom, but yet women were left out. You know, even Abigail Adams even said to her husband, John, don't forget the women. And then the Iroquois coming and saying, you know, when they met with the people in the Continental Congress, where's the women? You know, it's like we were absolutely not there. So how do you feel, what do you think some of the resistance was? Why do you think there was so much resistance? And why is it taking so darn long to get this thing done?
Well, I want to remind folks that the Constitution was written at a time before black people of color and women could vote, own land, or otherwise live as free individuals. It was written for and by white landowning men. And so it's intentional that we were left out of the Constitution. They didn't want us to have equality. They didn't see us as people. And so the lessons that we take from that is, if we want to work to move this forward, history has shown us that we have to work together. We have to bring along all of those who are being marginalized and who are being oppressed in this movement and work together to uplift our issues and their issues. The beauty of the Equal Rights Amendment is it's for everyone. It's for women, it's for girls, it's for non-binary people, it's for men, it's for boys. It's for anyone who has the potential to be discriminated against on the basis of their sex. And so what we see now are some of the same arguments that have been used since the 70s when there was opposition to the Equal Rights Amendment. We actually are at higher in the polls than we've ever been in this country. We're at about 80% of folks in this country think that we should have an Equal Rights Amendment, and that men and women should be treated equally. Unfortunately, there's a very small minority that's very vocal and very well-funded that's pushing against that because they have a financial interest in it. You have to ask folks, why do you think it's okay to discriminate against other people just because they're not you? And ask them what the real reasons are. And it's not social issues. What it comes down to is there are people who benefit from the status quo, and we need to change that by addressing it and getting those folks out of office.
Well, it's a hard one, you know, because it seems like you have to change the minds and hearts of so many people. You know,
I think most people are in the right place. What you have to do is motivate them to actually use their voice, which is their vote. I mean, if our vote wasn't so important, people wouldn't work so hard to take it away from us.
Exactly. Right? Exactly. That's what I said at the opening of the show. I said, if the vote didn't mean anything, why are they working so hard to redistrict, to make sure that you can't vote? I mean, and to me, the most amazing thing is that they gutted some of the civil rights legislation that happened, and there were a person of color that voted for that. I mean, that it's amazing to me. Yeah. Well, let's get into it, and then I just want to do a short piece on this, and if it's okay with you, I'm going to play we'll take a little musical break and then come back. Is that going to be okay?
Yeah, that works. Thanks.
Okay, so let's get into the equal rights. What is the equal rights? I mean, give us a real simple explanation amendment and give us a little history about its beginnings. I mean, I'm just a lover of Alice Paul and also, you know, all the different women that were involved. So talk a little bit about the history and its beginnings also.
Sure. So the Equal Rights Amendment is 26 very simple words, and it's a concept and a promise of a better future. Equality of rights under the law shall not be denied or abridged by the state or by any states on account of sex. That's the amendment. And what that means is exactly what it says. You cannot discriminate against someone based on sex. What it doesn't mean is that you can't recognize distinctions based on sex. So Title IX, for instance, Title VII, where they are protections in place because we recognize that historically women have been at a disadvantage and oppressed, and so we need to overcome the systems that are keeping us oppressed. So at the end of the day, the Equal Rights Amendment means that we all are seen equally in the eyes of the law, so that you can't be discriminated against because of your gender identity or sexual orientation. You can't be discriminated. You can't be paid less for working the same job as a man. You would have protection under the Violence Against Women Act, because as we've seen, all of these policies have been gutted because they can be. But if we have the Equal Rights Amendment, that's a foundation upon which we have the ability to create laws that actually protect us. We have the ability to enforce laws that actually protect us. Right now, you look at the laws that have had that we've passed in the past, and they have been rolled back. I mean, look at Roe, it's not a law, but it's a court decision. 50 years of precedent was overturned last year by the court because they could, because there was no prohibition against them doing that in our Constitution. With the Equal Rights Amendment, we would have protections that we can enforce.
Well, you know, what's interesting about this whole thing around the court, I found very interesting, is trying to put some ethics rules within the court and how they're resisting that. I mean, it just doesn't make sense to me. You'd think that they would say, yes, we must have an ethics. We must let the country and the people know that this is the way we operate and that we're not going to break our boundaries. And so I think it's a very interesting time, and people need to really, really, really look at that. Well, what was Alice Paul's idea with the equal rights? What was her main push there?
So as you probably remember, the Equal Rights Amendment came out of the women's suffrage movement in the 1900s. And so the purpose was to recognize that, okay, the vote is the first way that we can solidify our rights. Because if women can vote, they can vote for equality in their constitution. And that's really what they were focusing on. The people who were moving this movement forward really were focused on women's rights. But let's be clear, a lot of those women cared more about white women's rights than they did about the rights of women of color. And what makes our movement different than what it was then is that we understand the importance of having everyone involved in this movement, and not just uplifting the Equal Rights Amendment, but uplifting all of the issues, all of the people, all of the communities that have been negatively affected by the lack of an Equal Rights Amendment. So that's really what the main difference between then and now. But the underlying current is the same. We should have equality in the Constitution, in the foundation of our laws.
Well, what people need to recognize also, that the beauty of our country, the beauty of our Constitution, is that we can make amendments, we can add changes, we can work towards a more perfect union. And that's how we do it, through equal rights amendments, through different things that have come forward. So it's very, very interesting, you know, just living in the United States and just having that kind of opportunity, and yet many of us don't take advantage of it, or many of us don't stand up for it. So with that thought in mind, and you know, Ken and I have been debating exactly how to pronounce your name. Can you tell me exactly? It's such a beautiful name, and I just want to make sure that I pronounce it right.
No, you actually did. It's Zakiya Thomas.
Oh, Zakiya. Okay. Hey, go to the head of the class, Elaine. Okay, so we're going to take a little musical break, and we will come back, and we will be enjoying this conversation with Zakiya Thomas, who is the president and CEO of the ERA Coalition and Fund for Women's Equity. And we're going to play a song. It's by Earth Mama. I love Earth Mama. You know, she's the one who wrote Standing on Our Shoulders, but she also wrote this wonderful song called Made for These Times. Listen to the words. We are made for these times. We are made for the times to stand up as women and say enough is enough. We want an equal rights amendment in the Constitution, and we want to be able to vote on things like voting against war. Wouldn't that be great? So let's go ahead, Ken. Let's play Made for These Times, and when we come back, we'll finish our conversation.
Sun or snow, fog or rain.
Yes, we are made for these times, and the time is now for women to stand up. And welcome back. You are listening to Women's Spaces, and I'm your host, Elaine B. Holt. And joining me on the phone from Washington, D.C. is Ikaya Thomas, who's the president and CEO of the ERA Coalition and Fund for Women's Equity. Welcome back. Thank you so much for hanging out with me for a little bit longer.
Thank you. Love to be here.
Oh, it's just, you know, I'll tell you, when I listen to that song, you know, we are made for these times. I mean, if we don't have the strength now to stand up, I don't know if we're ever going to get it, because so much has come before us, you know, that gives us that opportunity. So talk a little bit about what do we still need? You know, we still need that ERA in there in 2023. What's stopping us from getting it? What is the resistance that you see today? I mean, why is it so complicated?
So it's not complicated, and that's the sad part. Unfortunately, what we see is we have legislators who are not reflecting the will of the people who elected them. So we have measures in resolutions in both the House and the Senate. We actually have very strong support in the House for the Equal Rights Amendment, and in the Senate we have over a majority. But unfortunately, because of the filibuster, we can't get the vote to the floor because there are folks who don't want to see it there. And so they're using the filibuster as an option, even though it is more popular in the Senate than the opposition is, and even though it is about 80% in the polls. There are folks who you will have to ask them why they have such a strong interest in not seeing equality make it into the Constitution. I don't know if they've ever been asked that question, because if you ask someone, if you ask some of these members of Congress if they believe in the equal rights, that women and men should be treated equally, they say yes. Okay, if that's the case, why are you voting against the Equal Rights Amendment? And I don't have a legitimate answer for that. The only thing I can think of is that there are interests that are funding them, and if you look at who they're receiving money from for their campaign donations, there is a trail to see who's funding them. And it's the same people who are fighting against abortion. It's the same people who are fighting against trans rights and LGBTQ+ rights. And ultimately, it is an economic argument. And until we address that and stop focusing on social issues, because they're using social issues that they're resurging from the 70s to divide us. And our movement knows that you can't divide us, because we are stronger together. And the more we allow people to say, well, that's their issue, not your issue, they're all related. Because if some of us are oppressed, all of us are oppressed.
Well, you know, it's interesting. About 6 months ago, you know, now that we have all this streaming on YouTube and everything that's going on, we came across a film, you know, about, it's called Mrs. America, and it's the story of Phyllis Schlafly. And I, you know, I was part of the women's movement at that time, but I never saw it so condensed. You know, they showed what she was standing for. They showed the whole the lesbian contingency, how they were fighting for their rights. I mean, I remember going to school and having meetings about that. That as women, we must come together. You know, you're a lesbian woman; it doesn't matter. We all have the right to be free and to have choice. And so when I was watching Mrs. America, and the one thing that stood out in my mind is what Phyllis Schlafly used, is that, well, we don't want you to be able to draft our daughters. And the idea of that was very stunning to me, because there's first of all, after the Vietnam War, there was no more draft. That was number one. And number two is they did not recognize that it was a matter of choice, that what we're asking is that women have the choice. If, you know, I remember with Title IX, for example, when I was at Sonoma State, they had a letter come in that a young woman wanted to play football, and they weren't allowing that. And that's when the whole Title IX erupted, and then all of a sudden women would play in sports. Now, I myself would not encourage my daughter to play football, and I don't want to play football, but why should I stop some other woman who says, this is what I feel that I want to do? So it was very interesting listening to the Phyllis Schlafly thing. So do you think that idea is still in their mind, you know, like somehow women have to stay home, they're supposed to, you know, I don't know, be barefoot and have babies? What is your thought on that?
So two things. Phyllis Schlafly has been modeled as this homemaker extraordinaire who went out there to fight the fight for homemakers. Two points there. One, the majority of women who were mothers at that time were working mothers. And so the notion of having a stay-at-home mom who just did whatever her husband told her was a false notion. It was a smaller percentage of the country who actually did that, and they're idealizing that as the thing, the way it should be. The point being, that wasn't true. It wasn't accurate then. It's definitely not accurate now. So when you look at the arguments that were made, what you don't really hear and what you don't see in that movie is the financial interest that's behind it. Phyllis Schlafly was a Republican operative at the time. She knew, she was very well connected to the Republican Party. She was very well connected to a big business and industry, and they were funding her campaign. Again, this isn't about social issues. We saw then that the arguments they were using to say that we shouldn't have the Equal Rights Amendment, women in the draft, homosexuality being legalized or gay marriage being legalized, because it was a crime still in some parts of the country, women taking over jobs in the workforce. We've seen that what they said has come to fruition, and it's not a bad thing. Women are fighting in combat zones. Like, they are on the front line. We now understand and appreciate that all love is love, and so that gay marriage should be a part of our law, and we should respect and appreciate that and laud it. It wasn't so long ago that black people and brown people weren't allowed to use bathrooms, the same bathrooms as white people. And right now they're trying to use that same argument against trans individuals, trans women in particular. And if we let that argument continue, we're complicit in that. We need to understand that all people are people. They can't define who's a woman, and they can't tell us what we can or can't do or what we should and shouldn't do. They believe in freedom, but they're not allowing us to have our own. They believe in a particular kind of freedom.
Well, you know, I take it one step further. I just don't understand why people are so resistant to choice. I mean, you know, it's okay. Isn't it okay to have a choice? You know, I had this one discussion with this one debate about if you die, you know, God's going to give you this judgment. And I said, hey, you know, if I make a choice and that happens, let me handle it. You don't have to handle it for me through the government. It just gives me the chills. So let's go ahead.
One step further. Realize that that's their belief in a particular ideology that not the rest of the country doesn't necessarily believe in. So we're being held to someone's idea of what we should and shouldn't do, and that's not the mainstream. So we need to remember that. It's someone's particular view of religion that we're being held to. It's not everyone.
That's a good – thank you so much for sharing that. That's very important. It's very important to understand that you still have a mind of your own. You still can make your own choices, and you can still stand up for those choices. So very, very important. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you for mentioning it. So let's talk about what are some of the steps that are taking now. What can folks do to support you? What can – you know, how can you maybe make donations? What is it that you need from – save my listeners. I mean, this is a woman's show. What kind of message and what kind of steps are you taking at this time, and what is your timeline? I mean, what do you hope to see, what, when, and where?
So for the first time ever, we have matching bills in the House and in the Senate, in Congress. So the first thing we need folks to do is to call your member of Congress and have them vote yes on the bills that are in front of them. Have them vote to remove the filibuster. Have them vote to have a discharge petition to bring these votes to the floor. We need everyone to stand up and be a part of this. Not voting is a choice. It's a vote. You're voting to let someone else make that choice for you, and it's not necessarily in your best interest. We have a campaign going around right now that's signed for ERA. That's SIGN, the number 4, ERA, .org. And go there. Sign up and say, I want the Equal Rights Amendment added to the Constitution. The more votes, the more people, the more voices we have for the Equal Rights Amendment, the better. And, of course, we need funding for the ERA Coalition, so you can visit us at eracoalition.org or fundforwomensequality.org. We're two organizations. One is politically active, and the other one is education and public information. But above all, as women, we need to make sure that we are standing together. We are standing with the LGBTQ plus community, that we're standing with indigenous people, that we're standing with all of the folks who are being ignored, underrepresented, and maligned because we don't have equality in the Constitution. So have a conversation with someone who doesn't agree with you and just listen to them and try to hear their point of view. You may not agree, but we need to have more dialogue in our country because right now we are so polarized that we can't get anything done, and we need to move past that.
What do you think is creating all this polarization? I kind of think it's the media. I think they give us too many opinions, you know, so many things that it just divides us here and there and everywhere. What do you think is the main thing?
We have a short attention spans. I think that's part of it too. And I think that we've been conditioned to just see what's in front of us and how things impact us directly. So we need to take a step back, and I think one of the bright sides of COVID for a little bit of time was that people started caring about other people again that they didn't necessarily know, but they knew that we were in community together. We need to get back to a place where our politics aren't so vitriol and understand who benefits from that. It's not the everyday person who benefits from divisive politics. It's the people who have the power right now. We need to take that power back however we can. And having an amendment to the Constitution not only says that we have equality in our Constitution, but it guarantees or it provides a precedent for us to continue to modify our Constitution in a way that improves it for the people who live here now. I don't believe in an originalist point of view for the Constitution. I think it's BS, frankly, because I don't want to be held to a system of inequality that was founded when my people were actually subjugated and by law oppressed and kept in slavery.
Well, you know, it's interesting that you say that. I break it down to a very simple message, you know, is that we have a right. We have a right to be here. We have a right to choice.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and also for women to recognize by not having this amendment in the Constitution after almost over 100 years of struggling for it, it's an insult to women. You know, I'm thinking of Abigail Adams when she's told her husband, don't forget the women. I mean, here it is over 100 years and we're still being forgotten and we still have to struggle. I mean, I remember when they made this big deal about Hillary Clinton in her pantsuits. You know, they don't make a big deal.
They never talk about the speaker and, you know, men having the same issue. You never hear about their color of their tie.
I know. It's just amazing. Well, can you do me a favor? Can you, again, state the Equal Rights Amendment exactly as it states? Give us your website and also any last words, anything that you would like to say, anything, any message that you would like to. I mean, you've given just this has just been a marvelous, marvelous interview, my friend.
Thank you. So the Equal Rights Amendment is very simple. Equality of rights under the law shall not be denied or abridged by the state or by any state on account of sex. And what that means is that it's a promise for a better future, for a brighter future, and for a more equitable future. We need to have equality enshrined in our Constitution because it's so easy to roll back a right and so easy to roll back laws. And so what if you do nothing else, vote. Vote for your interests. Research the votes that your candidates for whatever office have taken and say, is that for me? Don't listen to what they say, but look at the laws and say, is this something that will actually help me or will it hurt me? Because so many people vote against their interests because they're listening to what people tell them and they're not taking the time to think about it for themselves.
Well, very, very important. You know, when you start thinking about it, you have to think about, well, how is this affecting you? How is this? I go one step further. How is this affecting the future of your children, the future mm-hmm. of future generations? I mean, the Native Americans say we have to look forward to seven generations, and it doesn't seem like we're not doing that very well. And what is your website? You mentioned
yes.
another website. You mentioned, what is the website they can get a hold of you? And you mentioned something else at the beginning of a coalition that you're working with.
Sure. So our website is eracoalition.org, and we also have a sister organization, fundforwomensequality.org. But if you go to the eracoalition.org, you can find the fund. So we do – most of the work that we do is public education and information around the Equal Rights Amendment and why it's so important. And I'm so glad that I'm able to be here and talk with you and to your listeners, because the more people we know that this isn't a reality, that we need to make it a reality, the closer we're going to be to having the Equal Rights Amendment in the Constitution. We've never been closer. After 100 years of it being first introduced in Congress, 50 years of it being passed by both houses of Congress with bipartisan support, being ratified by the requisite number of states, 38, the last thing we need and the important thing we need next is to have it published in the Constitution, and we have the ability to do that in the next couple of years because this Congress can make that happen right now. So thank you so much for letting me be here and talk about the ERA. I love talking about this stuff.
Well, I want to thank you, you know, and also I want to thank Christy for making this possible. And it's on such short notice, too, because once I got this information, I thought, oh, my God, I didn't even know this existed. And I said, if I don't know it, that probably many, many women don't know it. So let's just get it on the air and let's just talk about it. Well, thank you so much from the bottom of my heart, Zakiya, for being on Women's Spaces. And I want to wish you much, much success in all that you do. And please know that Women's Spaces is available to you if you want to make any announcements or you feel the need for another interview to get more information out there. Please do not hesitate to let me know.
Thank you so much, Elaine. Wonderful to talk with you today.
And thank you. Wow, this is amazing. I mean, to think about the Equal Rights Amendment and to think about all these wonderful things that can happen if we get this in place. And what a powerful interview that was. Don't you think so, Ken? That was really amazing. So, you know, we're going to do a little reminder. You know, this is another one of my favorite songs by Earth Mama. It's called Standing on the Shoulders. And we're standing on the shoulders of many great women. So I want to play this song and then we'll have a quick
goodbye and then end the show. Let's go ahead. Standing on the Shoulders, sung by Earth Mama.
I am standing on the shoulders of the ones who came before me. I am stronger for their courage. I am wiser for their words. I am lifted by their longing for a fair and brighter future. I am grateful for their vision, for their toiling on this earth. We are standing on the shoulders of the ones who came before us. They are saints and they are humans. They are angels, they are friends. We can see beyond the struggles and the troubles and the challenge. When we know that by our efforts, things will be better in the end.
Yes, I am standing on the shoulders of many wonderful women, you know, wonderful Alice Paul, Ida B. Wells, Sojourner Truth, you know, all these wonderful women. Well, a special thank you to Zakiya Thomas, who's president and CEO of the ERA Coalition and the Women's Equality Equity, for giving us such a great insight into some of the issues and the history of the Equal Rights Amendment, which is was first introduced by suffragist Alice Paul over 100 years ago. And that's it for our show. I want to remind everybody the show goes on at 11 o'clock this evening. This is Elaine B. Holtz. You've been listening to Women's Spaces. Thank you so much for listening. And remember, always, our children are the future. We must never lose sight of that.
She's someone to pursue. She's patient and she's waiting, and she'll take you home now. The woman in your life, she can wait so easily. She knows everything you do, because the woman in your life is you. Because the woman in your life,
the previous Women's Spaces show was recorded on Monday, August 7th, 2023.